This is lesson HBS 143, and this is Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 11. And the subtitle for this lesson is The Role of the Godhead in Setting Up the Gifts and Ministries. Now, before we get started, since we're going to be talking about the role of the Godhead in setting up the gifts and ministries in the body of Christ, I think it would be a good idea to discuss a little bit about how one decides in the New Testament whether the text is talking about God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I've done in preparing this lesson. In the New Testament, if it says God, it usually means God the Father or the Godhead. And a couple of scriptures for that would be Ephesians 4:6 and Romans 15:6, plus about another 20 places in the New Testament. Lord usually, and Christ always, means Jesus. Jesus is Lord, okay? And when it says Lord, usually in the New Testament, it means Jesus. And of course, when it says Christ, it always means Jesus. A couple of scriptures for that are Romans 1:7, Romans 15:6, and also there's probably about another 20 places in the New Testament where this is clarified. And then finally, the Spirit, when it says the Spirit, and it's capitalized, or Holy Ghost, means the Holy Spirit. So with these distinctions, I've used to set up this lesson. Okay, so because we're going to be talking about the Godhead, and sometimes it's not so simple to keep which member of the Godhead is being discussed unless we follow these simple rules. Okay, so when it says God, or it usually means God the Father, the Godhead. When it says Lord, and of course Christ, it always means Jesus. And when it says the Spirit, capitalized, or Holy Ghost, it means the Holy Spirit. Now, let's start talking about God the Father's role in setting up the gifts and ministries. And let's start reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start in verse 4. Well, let's start in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. Now, it goes on then and discusses the manifestations of the Spirit, of which there are nine. We've studied those just recently in our lessons on the gifts of the Spirit. All right, now my point here now I'm trying to make is that in these three verses, verse 4 is devoted to the Holy Spirit, verse 5 is devoted to Jesus our Lord, and verse 6 talks about the operations of God. And since they're all mentioned here separately, we can be sure that in verse 6 is talking about God the Father. Now, what is it saying? Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, in other words, that manifests these gifts. And we talked about those nine gifts. In fact, they're listed right here in this chapter, right after these three verses. Now listen, verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, Lord being Jesus. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. Now, all three members of the Godhead are mentioned in these three verses. The Spirit, the Son, where it says Lord here, and the Father, where it's talking about God. And each one of them has a different thing that they do in setting up the gifts and ministries in the body of Christ. We'll talk about each of these in this lesson. Now, first let's talk about God the Father. It says in verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Where in verse 5 it says there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way. I think it helps us to think about this a little bit. It talks about operations, administrations, and gifts. All right? And you could say, you know, in modern language, the man that's the head of the whole corporation is called the chief operating officer. And then the man that's in charge of, under him, in setting up the company, is called the chief administrative officer. All right? And so I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, if we just think about the fact that God the Father, as being the chief operations officer, it means the CEO, really, the head of the corporation, and then the chief administrative officer, which is in charge of day-to-day direction of the company, and then there's the Holy Ghost, which is kind of like field manager on the earth that takes instructions handed down by the head of the church, which is Jesus, the head of administrations. Remember, it says right here, diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. So God the Father has, it says here, diversities or differences of operations. Now, I got a little confused when I've had to study this for quite a while to straighten out between what Jesus is doing and what God the Father is doing, because it seemed like there was some overlap between the two, and I couldn't quite figure out what the Bible was talking about. Some of the things it said God the Father does, Jesus also does. And it just seemed to me that there was some sort of distinguishing here that I was missing that the Holy Spirit wanted to bring to my spirit. And in fact, years ago, I was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and I got to this point here, and I got down to this point where I'm talking right now. And I could see in my own spirit that I wasn't prepared to really go into this the way I should have been. And so I just said, an hour of teaching had already gone by, and I just said to the class that Dad, I'd pick up here next week. And when I came back next week, I didn't have any more to say on this verse 6 about the diversities of operations. So I just sort of skipped over and continued the lesson from there. And one of the guys in the group says, wait a minute. Seems to me last time you were going to get into this difference of administrations, but the same Lord, and diversities of operations, but the same God, and you were going to make a distinction, and you told us that you'd pick it up here again next week, but you haven't done that. Why? And so he caught me. And I just had to say, well, I started to say something last week, and something in my witness and my spirit was that I didn't know enough about this yet to talk about it. And so I didn't go on with it, and I still don't have enough to make a distinction here. And he said, well, okay. But he did call me on it. So now here we are again a few years later, and I'm reading the same thing. And this time, I believe I have some more light on this. So let me just talk about this. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, what I found out is I was getting mixed up between the administrations and the operations simply because there's a time difference, a big time difference. And I'll talk about that right now. All right. Now, when it says that God the Father set up diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all, one of the things it means, and I'm not saying this is the only thing it means, because I don't claim to have all the light on this there is to have, but one of the things I learned after asking the Lord to clarify this for me is that God the Father did his diversity of operations, at least a lot of them, early, before there ever was the body of Christ. He got things ready, and I'll talk about that more. And then Jesus, when he rose from the dead and was went to sit at the Father's right hand and took over being the head of the body, the head of the church, he actually got into the details of appointing members to various positions in his body. So there's a time difference here. Yes, they duplicated their efforts to some degree, but the Father did his work many, many eons before there was any Christians on the earth, and I'll discuss that right now. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And I'll explain this a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And you might think, well, Mike, why are you going through all this? I mean, in the gifts and ministries. Well, I think it's important that we see the role of the Godhead in setting up these gifts and ministries. We've covered this in pretty good detail up to now. This is the 11th part, just on gifts and ministries. And I think it's instructive to us to see how God set this up. Because if we can see the import that God puts on when he appoints us to various parts of the gifts and ministries, I think we'll take it a little more seriously when we find out what we're called to do, that we see how intricate and how long God has been setting all this up for us. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Please listen closely now. from the foundation of the world we're talking about. That's a long time ago, isn't it? From the foundation of the world, way before there were any Christians, way before there were any people on the earth, way before Adam and Eve, God set some things up. First of all, He chose us. He chose us to be members of the body of Christ. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. First of all, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ because there wasn't any members when He did this. Listen. According as He has chosen us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. In these three verses, it talks about how God chose us to be members of the body of Christ before the world was even created, before the foundation of our world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How did He do that? He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. How did He do it? By Jesus Christ. That was later. That wasn't right then. But God was setting this all up. He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. So we see part of the diversities of operations that God did is that He chose us to be members of the body of Christ from the foundation of the world. Okay, that's one thing He did. Now, all of these things I'm going to mention, three things He did from the foundation of the world. That means way before there were ever any Christians on the earth. Okay, so number one, He chose us, one of His operations, as the, you might say, the chief operations officer in the Godhead, is that He chose us to be members of the body of Christ from the foundation of the world. Now, what else did He do? Let's go to Romans 8, 28 through 30 and look at something else He did way back then. Kind of interesting how God set this all up way, way, way back in time. Okay, Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. This is talking about God the Father now. We are called according to some purpose He has for us, it says here. Okay, according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, that would be us, the body of Christ, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That would be Jesus. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Talking about the body of Christ here that is to come. And when did He do this? Those He foreknew, that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. He did this way back, folks. This is something that these diversities of operations of the Father were done way before there were any believers in this world. What did He do? He called us according to His purpose. When did He do it? From the foundation of the world, He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Okay, so again, we see this is something God did, some operations that He performed from the foundation of the world, getting ready for the body of Christ. He chose us to be members of the body of Christ, and He called us according to His purpose. And number three, He called each of us, yet unborn, to a specific ministry. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and we're going to see He also did this way back at the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Here we go. Verse 9. I'll go back to verse 8 so we'll know who we're talking about. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, that's Paul talking, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He's talking about God here, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus, listen, before the world began. Here again, he called us to a holy calling, yet unborn, to a specific ministry. That's the chief operating officer, God the Father, okay? Now listen, it gets in verse 10 down into what Jesus did. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, folks, there's a lot in these three verses. First of all, it talks about God the Father, the chief operating officer, if you will, calling us with a holy calling before the world began. That's in verse 9. And then it gets into what the chief administrative officer, Jesus, does when he set up the ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and there's some more also that we'll get into later, the chief administrative officer did in modern times, that is, after the body of Christ was formed. Because in verse 10 it says, but is now made manifest, that's in the church age, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. See, he's changing time scales here from verse 9 to verse 10. In verse 9, it talks about what God the Father did before the world began. And in verse 10, it says, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Verse 11, so Paul could be appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. You see that? I think it's beautiful the way God's got these, and I never saw that before. Just this week, in preparing this lesson, how God then finally gave us the full picture between what he was doing many eons ago and how now Jesus has picked up these things that God the Father has set up and is appointing various members now that we have a body of Christ. We didn't have a body of Christ when God the Father set all this up. But now today, since Jesus has, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, Jesus is, to appoint preachers, apostles, and teachers, and evangelists, and all of the pastors, and all of those things to the body of Christ. And not just those things. There's a lot of other things he's appointed for the laity to do, the non-full-time ministers, like many of you that are listening out there. And we'll talk about that, those things later. But Jesus set all that up. Remember we read back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll just bring this to your remembrance, put this all together. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We talked about the nine gifts that the Spirit manifests. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord Jesus, all right, the same Lord. We're talking about these administrations, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that are given to the modern, today, body of Christ. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And we see that God set this all up way before there was a body of Christ. That's the way God does things, folks. All through the Bible, God set things up and began to call them as done. It says that God calls those things that be not as though they are. He sets things up, calls it done, and then when the fullness of time has come, then these things take place. But since God is timeless, there is no time scale in God's way of thinking. He calls these things to be that be not in our time as though they are, because in God's time, eternity, they are true. And so that's the way God does. He calls those things that be not as though they were. And many, many eons ago, from the foundation of the world, we learned that he called us to be members of the body of Christ. He called us each according to his purpose, and he called each of us yet unborn to a specific ministry. And now in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it kind of puts this together. It brings up what God did in the past to what Jesus is doing right now. And I love the way this puts it all together here, where in verse 9 we're talking about before the world began, the thing that he called done is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, whereunto he was able to appoint Paul and others as preachers, apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors, what have you. So verses 9, 10, and 11 puts it all together for us, folks. So, from the foundation of the world, God the Father chose us to be members in the body of Christ. He called us according to His purpose, and He called each of us yet unborn to a specific ministry. Okay, that's the diversities of operations, or at least part of them, that God the Father did as chief operations officer, if you will, of the body of Christ. Now, let's see a little bit more about what God the Father did, a few more of the details. Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we started, and go on a little bit and see what God did way back from the foundation of the world. All right, He set up gifts and ministries for the future body of Christ. You can see this not only in the scriptures I've already given you, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And it says, "And God," talking about God the Father, "has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues," and so on, okay? So God set up this from the foundation of the world. And the thing that used to confuse me was the fact that it said God set this up, apostles, prophets, and all of that. And then back in Ephesians chapter 4, it said Jesus set these things up, or Jesus appointed members to these specific offices. And the difference is now is that God set this up eons ago. He set some in the church. We learned that, didn't we? He called each of us yet unborn to a specific ministries, and He set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and so on, even before there was anybody living on earth. Then Jesus came along and put names to these ministries by calling specific individuals to the present day ministry. Now, the difference being time. God did this back before the foundation of the world, and then when Jesus rose from the dead and went to sit at the right hand of the Father, He then gave gifts unto men. We'll see this later. But right now we're seeing here that God set this up in the church way back when, from the foundation of the world, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, and so on. Now, when God sets up someone in the church, whether it's an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, or ministry of helps, or something like that, He does it for life. If you go back to Romans chapter 11, verse 29, we read, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." That means He doesn't change His mind. That means whatever gifts He gives out, whatever person He's called to the ministry way back before the foundation of the world, these are without repentance. Simply means that His decision on this is final. That is, if He's called you to be a pastor and you decide you want to be a teacher, you're never going to succeed the way you could have if you'd obeyed the calling of God to be a pastor and so forth. Because His gifts and calling are without repentance. That means that they're final. We can't decide on these for on our own. God decides who He calls to various ministries, and then He equips those He calls to perform in those ministries. And so that's what it means here, that the gifts and callings of God to whatever He calls us to, whatever He gifts us to do, are without repentance. It's permanent. It's final. That's why it's very important as members of the body of Christ to be sure what we're called to do. Because I have seen my own self, people that are called to one thing get involved in doing something else because they think they like to do that more. And it never succeeds, folks. It never works. God doesn't change His mind and say, well, so-and-so decided they didn't want to be a pastor, or they want to be a teacher, and so I guess I'll just bless them in that help them be a teacher then. No, God doesn't do that. If you're called to be a pastor, that's where your gifts and calling lie, not in being a teacher. Now, what other thing did God do for the body of Christ to help them in their ministries? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 3. It's another thing that God the Father has done. Starting at verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as
God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God gave to every member of the body of Christ a measure of faith. Why did he give us this measure of faith? Well, let's go on, because the next verse, the next word in the next verse is for. What does that for mean? It means the thing that follows explains the thing going before. In other words, he gave to every man the measure of faith, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we know that, we've learned that, that we all have different giftings and callings. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. What grace are we talking about here? We're talking about this grace of the gift of the measure of faith God has given to every man. Why did he give it to us? Read on. Well, it tells us. Having then gifts differing according to the grace which is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That faith that was given to every man by God. God has dealt to every member of the body of Christ the measure of faith to minister in the gift that he's called us to minister in. Whether prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry on our ministering. And the King James says, let us wait on our ministering, but let us wait is not in the Greek. It should read on minister or ministry on ministering. What does it mean by on ministry or ministry on ministering? It means according to the proportion of faith, or he that teacheth on teaching. In other words, according to the proportion of faith that God gave you to minister that particular gift. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, according to the measure of the faith that God gave you in that. And so on, down through the various giftings that God gave us. You see what it's saying here? It's saying that God gave to every member of the body of Christ a measure of faith to operate in the gifting that he's called us to operate in. You see that? God, I'll say it again, God has given to every member of the body of Christ a measure of faith to minister in the gifting and calling that he has called us to operate in. That's why he gave us this faith, folks. You know, he not only gives us a gift, whether it's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, or ministry of helps, or whatever it might be, but he also, thank God for this, gives us the faith to operate in that gift. Now, just a small example of my own self. I know a little bit about myself, and that is, I know that God has called me to be a teacher, okay? That's something he's called me to do. But I am not really, in everyday life, a real outgoing person. But when it comes to teaching, God has given me faith to do this. I don't always have a lot of faith in social situations. In fact, I'm rather shy in social situations. I'm a little uncomfortable sometimes, to be honest with you. But when it comes to teaching, God has given me a measure of faith to operate in this area. And I'm only saying this because I want each of you out there that are hearing this to understand that if God calls you to do something, he not only calls you to do something, he gives you the power and the faith to do it. We'll talk about that power later in the person of the Holy Spirit that indwells each believer's spirit. But he also gives you the faith to operate in that gift. So I just wanted to discuss that a little bit, where it says he has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then if we go on and read, we see that it's the faith to minister in the gifts that he's called us to minister in. So we're learning a lot about what God the Father's done here in setting up the gifts of ministries in the body. We've learned so far that he has set up diversities of operations, and from the foundation of the world, he chose us to be members of the body of Christ. From the foundation of the world, he called us according to his purpose. From the foundation of the world, he called each of us yet unborn to a specific ministry. From the foundation of the world, he set up the gifts and ministries for the future body of Christ. And then he set those called into their ministries, and then gave every believer
that is going to be a member of the body of Christ the measure of faith needed to minister where he was called. And then he did one more thing, as in these diversities of operations, as the chief operations officer, if you will. The next thing he did was to give over day-to-day operations to Jesus, the head of the church, after there was a church. And that would be after Jesus rose and ascended into heaven and sat down at the Father's right hand. Let's see where it tells us this. And that would be in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. So it turned to chapter 1 of Ephesians, and let's read verse 22. 19. Paul is praying for the members of the body of Christ that, well, verse 18, their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of their calling, and what is the riches of the glory of our inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Listen, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Listen, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now listen, verse 22. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Folks, in verse 22, it tells us that God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him, after he rose from the dead, to be the head over all things to the church. In other words, Jesus is the head of the church, and he gave over all things from now on, that Jesus sits at his right hand of the Father to run the church and set up the body of Christ. In other words, all the things the Father did were in the past. A long time ago, he had this plan for the members of the body of Christ. He chose us, he called us, and he gave us each a specific ministry. He set up these ministries in the future body of Christ. Then he gave every believer a measure of faith to operate in this ministry gift, and then gave over day-to-day operations to Jesus, the head of the church, which we saw in verse 22 and 23 here, which when he put all things under Jesus' feet and then gave him to be the head over all the things, in other words, that the Father set up before the foundation of the world, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so, folks, we see here then what God the Father has done here in his diversities of operations, at least part of the diversities of operations. I'm not saying these are all the operations he did, but I'm interested right now in the things that God the Father did in setting up the body of Christ, gifts and ministries, because that's what we're teaching on here in this series. And just in summation, from the foundation of the world, he chose each one of us to be members of the body of Christ, based on his future of knowledge of who would receive Jesus as their Savior. Then he called each of us according to his purpose. And he called each of us, yet unborn, to a specific ministry. Then he set up the gifts and ministries for the future body of Christ, and called those into their specific ministries. Then gave every believer the measure of faith needed to operate where he was called, and then gave over day-to-day operation to Jesus, the head of the church. That's what God the Father did in setting up the gifts and ministries in the body of Christ, which I believe is called diversities of operations in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. And so, from these points of view, God the Father is the chief operating officer of the body of Christ, in that he set all this up from the foundation of the world. Now, in the next part of our teaching, we'll move on to what Jesus is doing today and has done as the head of the church. Let's go back now to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read once again. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And that's what we're getting ready to talk about. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. This last verse 6 is what we just finished talking about. Now we're going to move on to the administrations of the Lord. Remember we talked about God the Father being the chief operating officer who has diversities of operations. And now we're moving on to Jesus, who's the chief administrative officer, if you will, because it says here there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Okay, now where is Jesus right now? Well, Jesus is now residing at the Father's right hand. All right? And he's the head of the body's day-to-day ministry. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Just a brief verse here, and it says in verse 18, talking about Jesus, and he is the head of the body, the church. We're the body. The believers are the body. And Jesus is the head of the body, and his body is called the church. Sometimes we get confused, folks, of what the church is. We think the church sometimes is the church we go to on Sundays. It's not talking about that. There's all kinds of man-made churches, but there's only one, the church, and that is the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of that body. So if you go down the street to a certain church, the first church, and you have some friends that go down the street to another church, whatever it's called, and they're born again, and you're born again, you're members of the church. That's first. The church you go to on Sunday is not the church, it's a church. That's what man calls them today, okay? But the church is the body of Christ. And that man down the street that goes to a different church than you do, if he's born again, he's as much a member of the church as you are. Okay? And Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. So Jesus is head of the body's day-to-day ministry. Now, here's the big verse that we're going to read that really summarizes what Jesus is doing through the body of Christ. And that's in Ephesians chapter 4. And a lot of things are contained here, which brings light upon just what Jesus is doing with the body of Christ. Now, let's start back in verse 7. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, we're going to be talking about gifts of Christ, things Jesus gives to the church. Now, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. This is when Jesus rose from the dead, came out of hell, sat down at the Father's right hand, and what did he do? The very first thing he did, at least one of the very first things he did, was gave gifts unto men. Now, verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's talking about hell. And Jesus was raised up from hell. We all know that. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all things, that he might fill all things. Now here we get back to what these gifts are he gave to men that were discussed in verse 8. And he gave some, what are these gifts? Apostles. And some prophets. And some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Why did he do this? For the perfecting of the saints, that's the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, for the building up or edifying of the body of Christ. How long is he doing this? Till we all come in a unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why are you doing this, Lord? That you henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Well, there it is, folks. There is what Jesus has done in calling the members of the body of Christ into present-day ministry. Remember, God set this all up a long time ago. Now, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, and there was a body of Christ, goes to work and begins to fill the positions that God had set up eons ago. He formalizes the call whereby members are now appointed to all these various ministries, and we'll find out there's even more of them distributed in the epistles. But for now, we're just talking about what Jesus' role is. Later, we'll talk about what these individual gifts and ministries are. We see here then that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he gave gifts unto men. And it lists here in Ephesians chapter 4, the fivefold ministry. That is the full-time ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are full-time ministry gifts. And he tells why he did it here. So, I'm pointing this out to show you what Jesus is doing today and what he has done as soon as he ascended on high to sit down at the Father's right hand. He formalized the call that the God the Father set up eons ago and formalizes the call by calling specific people to these positions we've just discussed here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and there's more besides this. Now, he gives here, it tells us, specific gifts and ministries to specific members of his body to operate in the specific ministry they have been called to. I'll say that one more time. Jesus here is giving specific gifts and ministries to specific members of his body to operate in the specific ministry to which they have been called. Now, that's what Jesus has done. He has filled the positions that God the Father set up eons ago as he became head of the church. Because he couldn't really fill these positions, could he, until there were members of the body of Christ. And there were no members of the body of Christ until Jesus rose from the dead so that they could be born again and receive his spirit into their spirits. That couldn't happen until Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us, until Jesus had risen from the dead, until people believe that he rose from the dead, and then they confess Jesus as their Lord. And when they do that, they become a member of the body of Christ, they become born again, and Jesus then appoints various gifts to various members of his body. Now, what else does Jesus do? Well, we find out in Romans chapter 8, 34 and Hebrews 7, 25, that he prays and intercedes for the members of the body of Christ. You can look that up on your own. That's just another thing that Jesus does for the body of Christ that he's the head of now. He's the head of the church, which is the body of Christ. You can look that up on your own because I am running quite long here in this teaching. All right. Now, the next thing I want to bring out about Jesus is that he continues his role to the present day. Now, that's also found in this chapter 4 of Ephesians, because it says that he calls some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We know he does this to the present day because he says he's doing this in verse 12 for the perfecting of the saints. Are the saints perfected yet? No, they're not. For the work of the ministry. Is the ministry's work done yet? No, it's not. For the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Is all the members of the body of Christ completely edified and built up? No, they're still coming and arriving on the scene every day. So that hasn't happened completely yet. How long is he doing this? Again, he's doing it in the present day. He continues his role to the present day. How long is he going to do it? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he tells us in verse 14 why he's doing that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So folks, we see here that Jesus' role now is today's role as the head of the church. Folks, so far we've covered the role of the Father and the role of the Son, Jesus, in setting up the gifts and ministries in the body. In the next lesson, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit's role in the body of Christ. This is the homework for lesson HBS 143. First question. There are three members of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit. Is this answer true or false? Well, of course, this answer is false. There are three members of the Godhead, but they are God the Father, Jesus the Son of God, or you could say God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I had really the third person twice. God, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit are the same person in the Godhead. So the answer to the way I've written it is false, because they left out Jesus, the Son of God. Next question, true or false? Each person in the Godhead plays a part in setting up, imparting, and manifesting the gifts and ministries in the body of Christ. Is this true or false? Well, as we said in the lesson, this is true. Next question. God the Father is a blank and resides in blank, and I want scriptures. God the Father is a spirit, and he resides in heaven. And the scriptures for that are John 4:24 and Matthew 5:16. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And God residing in heaven is all over the Bible, but one verse you could put down is Matthew 5:16, which says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The answer to this question then is spirit goes in the first blank and heaven goes in the second blank, and the scriptures are John 4:24, and you could have any scripture here that says God lives in heaven, but it'd be Matthew 5:16 is the one I read. Next question. Jesus, also called the Son of God, resides in blank at the blank's right hand. What goes in those blanks? Well, that's easy, isn't it? Jesus, also called the Son of God, resides in heaven. That's where he is now, at the Father's right hand. So heaven and Father's goes in those two blanks. Next question, true or false? Every believer in Jesus Christ as Savior is a member of the body of Christ, also called the church. And that, folks, is true. Next question, true or false? God our Father chose us to be in the body of Christ even before we were born. Is that true or false? That also is true, as we learned in our lesson. Next question, true or false? He also called us who are members of this body for a particular purpose. And that is also true. And he also did that eons before we were born, as we read in our lesson. Next question, true or false? He also called each one of us who is a member of the body of Christ to a specific ministry. That also is true, as we learned in our lesson. And another true or false question. He did all of these things, talking about the Father, a long time ago, way before we were even born. And that also is true, as we also learned in the lesson. Next question. God the Father also gave each member the blank needed to carry out the blank to which he called us. What goes in those blanks? Okay, let me fill in the blanks for you. God the Father also gave each member, talking about the members of the body of Christ, the faith needed to carry out the ministry or gift to which he called us. So in these blanks goes faith and ministry, or you could say gift as well. So faith and ministry or gift goes in the blanks. Next question. He then gave over the day-to-day blank of the blank to blank, the head of the church. Filling in the blanks, it is, he then gave over the day-to-day operation of the body of Christ to Jesus, the head of the church. So in these blanks goes operation, body of Christ, and Jesus. Next question. When Jesus rose from the blank and sat down at the blank right hand, he gave blank unto blank. And I want a scripture for this. When Jesus rose from the dead and sat down at the Father's right hand, he gave gifts unto men. And the scripture for that is Ephesians 4:8. So in these blanks goes dead, fathers, gifts, and men. And of course, when it says he gave gifts unto men, he's talking about men in the general sense, like we talk about mankind, which includes men and women. So when he gave gifts unto men, he also gave gifts unto women as well. Next question. Jesus is now the blank of his blank, the blank. Filling in the blanks is, Jesus is now the head of his body, the church. So head, body, and church goes in these blanks. Next question. Name the 5 full-time ministries Jesus set in the church. Well, as we see, they were apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These are the 5 full-time ministries Jesus set in the church. What? And then the next question I say, give the scripture for this answer, and that would be Ephesians 4:11. And I'll just read that to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. All right, so that's that Ephesians 4:11. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. In the scripture, Ephesians 4:11. Next question, true or false? These 5 are the only ministries and gifts Jesus set in the church. Is that true or false? That is false. Those are the only 5 listed in this particular verse, Ephesians 4:11. But as we'll find out in future lessons, there are some more ministries and gifts that Jesus set in the church. So that's why the answer to this question is false. Now, next question. Give 4 reasons Jesus set the gifts and ministries in the church. All right? Now, the 4 reasons are given also in Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read verse 12. The reason he gave these gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, that would be number 1. For the work of the ministry, that would be number 2. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that would be number 3. And if we look down in verse 14, it gives another reason. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So, the 4 reasons Jesus set the gifts and ministries in the church are, number 1, for the perfecting of the saints. Number 2, for the work of the ministry. Number 3, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And number 4, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. So those are the 4 reasons. And the scriptures for this would be Ephesians 4:12 and Ephesians 4:14. Next question, true or false? Each member of the body of Christ should decide which gift or ministry they feel would be best for them. Is this true or false? Well, this is false, folks. The Bible, it tells us, God calls us to these ministries. We don't call ourselves. Romans 11:29 would be one scripture that tells us this. It says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. These are gifts and callings by God, not by us. We don't decide which gift or calling we're going to be called to. God decides that, and then we operate in that gift or ministry. So the answer to this question, the way it's worded, would be false. This then completes the homework for this lesson.